The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A new gripping Irish thriller based in Blarney in County Cork. It's a Blarney filled with secrets, deception and suspicion. And it explores if there really can be two sides to every story. The book is called Some of This is True, and its author is Michelle McDonough, best-selling author, freelance journalist, former court reporter. And Michelle is with me now. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
So let's talk, first of all, about the bones of the plot, set in Blarney, but the real Blarney, but not the real Blarney.
A fictional Blarney.
Fictional Blarney.
There's a couple of real, I suppose. There's Blarney Castle and the Blarney Woolen Mills, which are iconic. You can't really write about Blarney without mentioning them. But then there's a fictional pub called The Gab, and obviously all the people in it are fictional. Yes, but the setting, the rock close at the very start of it, there's a body found at the base of the Wishing Step in the rock close at Blarney Castle. And that is a real place.
A real place. But looking for the Gab pub to get a sandwich.
There's lots of other lovely pubs there.
Drop into the Woolen Mills and have your sandwich there.
Yeah, or the Muskerier.
Now, the bones of the story, we start with this body. Give us the background. Who is that person?
So Jesse DeMarco is a 21-year-old Irish-American, well, half Italian, half Irish, and she's from Boston. And she's recently found out that her father is from somewhere in North Cork with a castle. So she comes with, that's all the information that she has. But being, you know, the generation that she is, she decides to document her story online, and it starts to take legs, and it's shared on social media and local media. And 10 days later, after she arrives in the village, her body is found at the base of the Wishing Steps. So it's, how did she get there? Was she pushed? Did she fall?
Did she come close to finding the person that may be her father?
Did she? She possibly did, yes.
We can say we don't want to spoil anything, but yes. I mean, this is the heart of the thing, that she was coming in quest of her.
Of her father.
Of
yes.
her father.
Yes, and then her mother follows her from, well, she doesn't follow her. Her mother comes over from Boston to identify the body, and then she basically sets the cat among the pigeons.
Yeah. Now, there are many castles in Cork.
There are.
But I suppose when you think there's a big castle and you think Cork, Blarney springs to mind
North
straight
Cork,
away.
Yes, yeah. yeah.
So anyway, let's go back to the genesis of this story. What inspired you?
Apart from the setting, I was standing in the rock close one day looking at the steps, and Margot Bolster, the assistant state pathologist, and Alan Crowley, who's a crime scene technician, they've been a great support to me in my books, and they'd always said... Well, they hadn't always said, but they had mentioned at one point that a push or a fall, you know, if you find somebody at the bottom of stairs, it's very hard crime to prove. And then I had this case in my head that it had happened back in 1997 in Galway, in Connemara. And it was a fascinating, terrible case where a young girl, a 10-year-old, had moved over from her from Hollywood. Her dad was
an actor.
Yeah.
And you can find his, when you Google him, you go online and you can find
She was Una Hardister, and he'd been in The Fall Guy and The A-Team and things like that. But very quickly got into an argument with the neighbours who'd been living there for years. They bought a small holding near Cleggan, and it was over a very thin strip of land, but the community was kind of split over this. And she accused the 21-year-old son of the neighbour of sexual assault and assault. And he was convicted of the crime. He was given
by
a jury with no forensic evidence. He was given a 4-year suspended sentence, but he had to leave the community. His name was blackened.
Why was the sentence suspended for an alleged crime like that and found guilty by a jury?
Actually don't know why.
Because it seems odd to suspend all 4 years of a sentence like that.
Yeah, maybe because he had no previous convictions. He'd never, you know, never
done
anything.
Or did the judge believe that the jury got it wrong?
Yeah, you'd wonder why it even went to...
So how did that unfold then? He had to leave the community.
He had to leave the community.
But that's not the end of the story.
No, 10 years later, she was 20. She recanted her story. Her mother even wrote a blog about it, which was even more fascinating, to explain, you know, that her daughter in some kind of misguided way thought that she was helping her family. She hoped that herself and her mother could return to Hollywood and get away from this feud that was going on in the community. She was very troubled, and she went into human rights law. But if you actually Google the story, it was just a complete miscarriage of justice. After that, his file was lost. You know, it took a long time. I think it took another 10 years before his name was finally cleared.
And his name was cleared. And
it was, yeah.
But and no one involved in the whole thing offered him a word of apology.
No, no. And
there was some settlement reached.
Yeah,
I think,
there was never any, you know, charges preferred against her because she was only 10 at the time.
Yeah. And when you think of a 10-year-old unhappy in this situation, how she came up with the idea of a sexual abuse charge is another question. Maybe she 10 years old in 1977 coming, or 1997 coming from America, maybe they were wiser in their ways than we would have been here in that time.
But his life was ruined. His family's life was ruined in a small place like that. And people took sides. And it's that whole thing, I suppose, you know, are there two sides to every story? And even as a journalist, you always kind of say there's two sides to every story and the truth is somewhere in the middle. But then I was reading about this middle ground fallacy. So that's not actually true, because if you say to me pigs can fly and I say pigs can't fly, well, then our middle ground compromise is pigs can sometimes fly, which obviously isn't true. Or if you're Donald Trump, or if you're, you know, a gaslighting abuser, or if you're drunk, your side of the story compared to a rational person's side of the story, you know, the middle ground is not going to be the truth.
Yeah, I mean, one of the arguments when you're charged with, you know, balance and fairness in a debate about something, I mean, you don't bring the paedophile on to say paedophilia is okay.
Yeah.
Because some things are definitively wrong.
Yes. And I suppose when you look at, you look at, say, the Amber Heard, the Johnny Depp case, and you look at where's the truth there? Who even can remember, you know, he obviously wasn't sober. Who can, and the vitriol then, the social media vitriol on, I suppose, against her, really, against the victim. Then you have cases closer to home like the Belfast trial and the Conor McGregor trial. And it's how people, you know, believe one side or the other. And they will not, you know, they don't want to hear about the other side. A lot of them turned on the victim in these cases.
Yeah.
And it's the stoked by social media, then the hatred and the viciousness, you know,
I mean, you see in the United States where Trump is doing utterly mad things and the MAGA people, they will hear no wrong of him at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, their ears are closed. They don't want to.
Now, the transition from court reporter to fiction, how difficult, how exciting, how liberating was that?
I do miss court sometimes, and I actually enjoyed inquest, which is quite strange. But it's just the way the cases unfold and listening to the forensic evidence and all of that. It's very different, but it is great for inspiring stories. I mean, I read news voraciously. I read court reports still. I read the inquest. I read the agony aunt pages, and, you know, the farming advice pages, because you get, it's those truth or stranger than fiction stories, you get great ideas. But when you are writing fiction, you do have to leave the journalist outside the room, because otherwise you tend to throw all your facts and your detail in. That
You're not liberated to write the kind of maybe outlandish things that entertains us in fiction.
Yeah, and you have to, you know, when you're trained as a journalist, you're trained to leave yourself outside the story. You can't bring yourself into it.
Are you conscious of laying down MacGuffins, you know, things that will mislead, clues that would lead the discerning reader to the truth, but you hope they won't find it too quickly?
Yes, yes. And sometimes you go back and you seed those in. And my editor, Kira Constein, is amazing with Hachette. And she would say, you know, I think you need to pacing is a big thing for me, and maybe go back and look at putting in a few more of those. It's funny that you mentioned MacGuffin, because I have relations who are MacGuffins. So every time I hear that, it's a very unusual name.
I think Hitchcock used the term as something that is put in to mislead.
Yes.
You know, you get the satisfaction of thinking you solved it, but
you want people to, at the very end, to go, oh, yes. Yeah. She did set the seed, but I didn't.
Now, how did you decide to abandon court writing, court reporting for fiction? I mean, was it something you were doing anyway, quietly?
No, it was something I had always said. I always wanted to write a book, but I mean, you have to go out and make a living, obviously.
Yeah.
So I went into journalism. I was saying, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to write my first novel. Never happened. By the time I'm 40, never happened. Coming up to 50, I thought, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. But I had given up news journalism after my first daughter was born, my first child. She's 16 now. I just found I couldn't, you know, it's a hard work-life balance. You can't, you know, if you're called out in the evening to cover courts. So I went into features and health. Still wasn't getting any fiction writing done. So I did the Faber course, a Faber online, write your first 10,000 words. And that really got me started again. And I finally finished a book for the first time ever. And I was really, really fortunate that that was my first book.
Yeah. You're on, that's number three, the current one, isn't it?
Yes,
number
some
three,
of this.
And you're already well on the way to number four.
Yes, I know it all. It's like commercial crime writers. A lot of us are on a book a year. And your readers, they're, you know, once they read a book, they want another one very soon.
Yeah, that's the point. You want the, will you, do you ever use the same cast of characters?
No, no.
Everyone is standalone.
Everyone is standalone. I'm not a bit, I don't read series fiction, and I don't think I could write it, but I am in my next book going back to the setting of the first book, which is Glenbeg, in loosely based on Banlaslow, which is where my own mother was from.
All right, and that's well on the way. This one is just out, so that one, do we have to wait a year for the next one?
Yep, yeah, it's only halfway through the first draft, but yes, some of this is true, is out now since last week.
And tell us about your success with these books. Well, the first two successful, this one well on the way, and how has that transformed your life?
It still feels very surreal. Now, I'm not doing any journalism at the moment, but I will, you know, probably get back into a bit of it. It's good to do both. But the first book I thought could be a fluke. The second book I thought could be another fluke. And even when I go into a bookshop now and see the books there, I think because it was a dream for so long, it doesn't even feel like they're mine sometimes. Yeah. But it's amazing. And there's a big group now of Irish female crime writers. And it's a fantastic group to be part of. I mean, that's really the highlight of it, because they're all such a lovely, supportive bunch.
Well, it's called Some of This Is True. The cover's very striking because it is those very steps, moss-covered steps that would be likely to lead to your premature demise.
Yes, my favourite cover so far.
It's very good. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us, Michelle McDonough. The new book is called Some of This Is True. It's available absolutely everywhere.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.